Okay, well, we're going to see how this goes. Today it's just me. Joe's not here. He's actually up at Soho right now. And I have no idea how to use this program. Joe left me his old computer, and I'm just trying to figure it out as I go. I was too lazy to even try to put the intro music in, so just pretend like you heard that. And it's probably not going to be very funny or entertaining because Joe's not here, but I will do my best. I just really wanted to get a podcast out because we've had so much going on and a lot of cool stuff happening. We've just been so busy that we haven't been able to get together and record. So hopefully this will kind of fill in that gap, and I'm hoping it's not too terrible to listen to, but thanks for being here, and yeah, we'll get through this. So a couple weeks ago, we were at Missoula, and that was just an awesome trip. We had a fantastic turnout. A lot of people came out for that. And it was really, really cold and wet, and it rained pretty much the whole time, but it wasn't too bad. The trails were in pretty good shape. Missoula is just a cool town. It's a cool place to go to, and I just love that place. Our riders did really, really well. The venue there is kind of interesting. I just learned this while I was there. The venue's Marshall Mountain, and I said that like a Utah. But Marshall Mountain, the story behind that is, I guess it was an abandoned ski resort that apparently got shut down for some safety concerns, I guess. And then they just never had the capital to be able to reopen it and make the changes that need to be made. So it just kind of was vacant for a while. And the local cycling community started using it as a place to kind of hold races and events and so forth. And I've been going to Marshall Mountain for, gosh, a long time. I'm not sure how, but we started going there. Like, it was one of the first national races Maybird started attending, and been going there a while. It's just a gorgeous place. It's kind of up this little canyon that's just outside of town. Just kind of beloved by all the locals. And apparently there was the property went up for sale. And I guess a millionaire was going to buy it and kind of make it a personal residence up there. And the town and the county got involved. They're like, no, we're not going to let this happen. And so they were able to scrape together the funds to buy it so the community could continue to enjoy that. So I just think that's an awesome story, and it's just an awesome place. And I know, I mean, that probably makes Mike Lee a little bit sad that a millionaire couldn't buy it to put a home up there and close off access for the community. But it's a really cool place. And since the county's purchased it, they've started just putting in just some awesome trails and just really, really making it just such a gem for the community. They've got like a bunch of accessibility trails for people that, for disabled people that are just world-class. They've got just fun directional trails. It's just, the setting is just stunning. Basically, I guess I just want to go back there sometime and just ride the trails. Really, really cool place. But yeah, we had a great time there. Our 15, 16 girls just crushed it. We had like Emma Daly and Ainsley and Zoe and just all of them were just like barely off the podiums. The podiums are only three deep in those races. So that was awesome. And Hunter Cottom's he's just consistently killing it every race he does. He was top 10 in both short track and the XCO. The race that was probably the most interesting, well, another one too to throw out there is Reese Tillman had a killer race. Now, if you don't know Reese Tillman, you should. He is one of the sweetest. He's probably one of the easiest to like people you're ever going to meet. There's just nothing annoying about him. He's just a really, really likable person. Just a cool guy. And he had probably one of the best races I've ever seen him have. He's always kind of been one of those that he rides better than he races. So it was really nice to see him just have a great performance. So way to go, Reese. I think definitely the most exciting performance of that particular weekend was Andrew Preston's. For some reason, there was, I guess, a mix-up or something with his call-up. None of his races were on his license or his membership. And so basically he got called up last in a field of about 120. And I know Brady wasn't super happy about it. But Andrew really didn't seem too bothered by it. And so he just, you know, he started off, got tied up in the back. It was a terrible start for him. And I saw him as he passed me. He just didn't seem too bothered about it. He's just like, you know what? I'm just riding my bike and I'm going to do what I can. And I was really worried because I knew this was kind of his A race. He really wanted to do well. He had kind of peaked for this. And to get that type of a call up is just could be really devastating because it basically cost him the race. Like there's really no way he was going to do well starting at 120th. And I'm like just thinking, man, I just hope he has fun. I hope he gets a good workout. I hope he enjoys the scenery and I hope he can glean something positive out of this. Well, lo and behold, after the first lap, he started at about 120th. And by the first lap, he was in 30th place and then was able to finish with like in the top 20s. I think he was like 20th or 21st or something, which was just incredible. And so he was super happy. It was just a super good example of like preparing for a certain race and being able to perform at your best, even though the circumstances weren't what you were hoping for. And I think it was really just his awesome attitude that pulled him out of that one. So I think that's just kind of a lesson to all of us there. So way to go, Andrew. Way to go, everyone that came out there. We had just so many people, just so many good races. I'm just kind of going off memory right now. I've done very little preparation for this podcast. So if I'm forgetting any cool experiences, we'll get them later because I'm sure I'll think of them after I'm done. And then that same weekend, we had the Wasatch 50, which is, I was really bummed I couldn't be two places at once because we had really, really good representation at the Wasatch 50. And I love seeing Nike kids do some of these longer events just because it gives them different racing opportunities, not just doing the same type of race all season long. And we had a great turnout there. I mean, the only thing that really is sticking, because I wasn't there, but one thing that just really sticks out is our junior girls, we had a total Maybird podium sweep, which someone sent me that picture while I was in Missoula and I got that and it just absolutely made my day. It was super cool. But we had like the Abbott twins were up there and Zoe and Summer Kazir was on that podium and so was Cora Hayes. So just all awesome people, great riders, just really, really made me just so happy to see that they had all done so well together. Oh, and Quinn was there too. Sorry, Quinn. How could I forget Quinn? Quinn was up there too. Way to go, Quinn. Anyhow, it's just so cool to see all those riders who I get to ride with and see them all on the podium together and know that they got to do some of that race together and ride together during the race. So super cool. This weekend right now, we've got Soho going on up in Soldier Hollow. And I just need to, and I know Joe's probably not going to listen to this. I know Andrew's probably not going to listen to this, but I just want to say how thankful I am that they covered that race for me. It was my anniversary. We went on a trip and I asked them if they would cover that race for me and I helped them get ready, but it's a tough race to do because it's 3 full days out in the midway sun. And I'm just so grateful they were able to cover for me for that. So I think I owe them like a steak dinner or something like that. But I don't really know a whole lot about what's happened up at Soho. I do know that Ainsley just crushed it and got a third place podium in the 15-16. And that's just super killer and super exciting. She is just an amazing athlete and just works super hard. So congratulations. I know I'm going to, in fact, I think when we record next week, I'm going to have Joe maybe talk a little bit more about Soho, because I wasn't there and I'm not super prepared again for this. I just wanted to get on and, but thanks for everyone that made it to these races and represented us and wore their Maybird kits. And it just, I'm just so proud of you guys and all your hard work and that you're showing up to things, you know, showing up to things. That's more than most people you'll be racing at NICO are doing. So, just proud of everybody and just grateful for all those that helped out. I know that the Joe and Andrew probably got a lot of help from some of the parents, and I know the Prestons helped tear down one night. And so thanks to everyone that's helped out. And you know, it just feels really weird talking without Joe here. I just, this ought to be, I'm guessing this is just horrible for you guys, but it's my first time ever doing it by myself. So not sure what to do. Anyhow, and I also don't know how to use the equipment, so I'm just going and not stopping, and I wouldn't know what to do if I stopped it. I wouldn't know how to start it again. So anyhow, so I just want to, I don't know if you guys remember, but every year about this time, Joe and I do a podcast where we talk about something other than cycling. Well, that's not going to be this week. That'll be coming up in the next week or two. And I was just, so last time though, if you remember, this is something that's totally off the subject, but I just thought it'd be fun to talk about. And then I'll get to my deep dive, which isn't really a deep dive, but last time that we did our non-bike podcast, Joe, his thing that he did it on was he was trying to find the most remote places in either Utah or the United States. And he mentioned a town that was the most remote town in Utah. And it actually happens to be the most remote town in the lower 48 states. And that's Boulder, Utah. And when he talked about Boulder, Utah, excuse me, I thought it sounded really, really interesting. And so one day I was at my in-law's house and I was kind of bored. I was just playing with my phone and I was looking at a map. Well, I was just playing with my maps and I was looking, I just kind of pulled up Boulder, Utah, and I was looking at some of the surrounding areas and so forth. And there was a business that kind of was highlighted you could click on, and it was called Hell's Backbone Grill. And I clicked on it and it pulled up a picture of this really, really pretty lodge and everything. And it looked really, really beautiful. It looked kind of fancy, like a reception center type thing. And my cool brother-in-law happened to be there, and he's the cool brother-in-law that like drives a Tacoma and does cool things. And I showed it to him. He's like, "Oh, that is actually my favorite restaurant." And I'm like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, I've been there and eaten like at least 8 times." And he kind of talked about it a little bit, and I looked through some of the pictures and read through the menu and decided then and there that someday I want to go check this place out. So for our anniversary, we actually got some reservations to this place, and my goodness, this place is so cool. And I just kind of wanted to share this with people in case you might be interested, but it's a really, really interesting place. Cause so first of all, Boulder, Utah is just in the middle of nowhere. And you get to it by going through like Bicknell and Torrey. And then you go through the Dixie National Forest, which is really, really pretty. And as I was riding through there, I was just thinking that would just be an awesome place to bring a mountain bike through. There's just some cool old school, they're not really, they're more like dirt roads and stuff. I don't know that they're really making any trails out there. It's really remote, but it is beautiful. And, you know, you get up really, really high when you're driving to, you know, you get to over 9,000 feet or something. And then you come out of the forest and you end up in Boulder, Utah. And Sharon kind of described Boulder, Utah as like, what did she call it? She's like Moab in the Alps combined or something. It's, you know, there's like slick rock with this forest back behind it. Is a cool place. And just a super small town, just a couple of businesses, but kind of the center of the town is this Hell's Backbone Grill, and it's become such a big deal that they've actually got like lodging and so forth, so you can come stay at the lodge and eat at the restaurant. It's really, really cool. And the whole restaurant, basically, they're so remote that they can't get to any grocery stores, or, you know, they don't have like delivery trucks that come out there. And so it's on a farm, and pretty much most of the things that you eat there are either grown on the farm or raised on the farm. And really, really cool weekend. Some of the most amazing food I've ever eaten. We bought they sell these books that talk about the history of this place, and it's got like all the recipes and stuff. But I'm just saying, if you guys want a cool weekend getaway, you need to check this place out. I can't wait to go back. The food was just some of the most amazing food I've ever had. So, anyhow, that was just kind of referring back to Joe's episode where he talked about the most remote places in Utah. And you can actually ride Hell's Backbone. It's a good gravel ride that's nearby. And there's also like the Burr Road that's really pretty too. So anyhow, I just want to throw it out there. I bet Brady'd like it. Take Heidi there on a getaway weekend here soon. You won't regret it. So, anyhow, that was kind of off the subject, but you got to check this place out if you ever get a chance. So look it up. Anyhow, I guess the next thing I want to talk about that actually does have to do with bikes is I just want to briefly mention mid-season breaks. I think that, you know, you do kind of hear a lot about these, about how you should take a mid-season break and how it's a good idea for longevity and to ensure that, you know, you're going to remain strong throughout the season. And I think that most of the kids that I work with and deal with, you know, they tend to go on family vacations, and this tends to happen automatically. I think for most people, other than me, this is something that I've in the past kind of struggled with. In fact, I've been so busy these last couple weeks with going to Missoula, and I didn't bring a bike to Missoula, and, you know, and I just went on this trip that I kind of took an unintentional mid-season break. So I think I'm covered for this, but it is something that is important, and it's not something that, you know, I don't think they like took 8 cyclists and put them in a lab and had 4 of them not take a break and the rest take a break. I think this is more of something that coaches and athletes have just gleaned from experience, and they've just known that, you know, if you have a season where you don't take a break and a reset, it goes badly. And if you do, you're preserved through later in the season. And you're able to extend the race season longer. So really good idea. It's just kind of a no-brainer. I think most people do. But if you're like me and you tend to just kind of keep plugging away and plugging away, it's not really helping you. So mid-season break, I would say a week is ideal. And it's a week of actual rest. Like if your family vacation is like backpacking in the Wind Rivers, I'm not thinking that's going to count as your mid-season break. But, you know, if you're going to the beach and you're just chilling out and spending some time off your feet and getting a little extra sleep and eating lots of good food, I would say that that's an awesome mid-season break. One thing I have seen is like a week to a week and a half max is probably ideal. It seems like when kids are gone like for 2 weeks, they really have a hard time getting back into the groove of things. So maybe don't make it too long. And then one thing to just caution you, sometimes like when people take a mid-season break, they come back, they feel really, really good, and after a ride or two, they're flying. Other people, it takes them a little while because they just get a little rusty while they're gone. And so just be patient after taking a break. Sometimes you feel good, other times you don't. Just stick with it and you'll feel good eventually. Okay, so for my, I guess you would call it our usual deep dive. It's not really a super deep dive. Mostly just some things that like I was thinking about as I was driving home from my little getaway. And And also, like recently I did a Zoom meeting for the Skyline team, talked a little bit about training, and I just kept it, I just try to keep it just as simple as I possibly could. You know, for those that want to know how to get faster, just the simple side of that, you know, because you can, getting faster, you can make it really, really complicated, or you can make it really, really simple, and both actually kind of make you faster. But so, but a story I have that really is something, it's a conversation I had with someone a while back that I just kind of can't get out of my mind. I just keep thinking about it over and over again because it was just such a no duh moment. I think a lot of you probably know about the Abbott twins. They're just amazing athletes. They're just such good riders. And they are like, you know, they were freshman racers last season for Nika and were winning their JVB races by like a couple minutes. And, you know, now they're entering like the elite I-Cups and winning those. And, you know, they're just really, really strong, solid riders. And for those of you that know me, you know that I am always looking for that magic bullet or that secret that makes, you know, what is that secret that makes people fast? They've just got to know something that I don't know. And I'm just always trying to find that. And I haven't been able to find it yet. I'm just going to keep looking. But so I was talking to one of the twins, and I can't remember if it was Krista or Melissa. I can't remember which one I was talking to. I think I was actually talking to both of them at the same time. And I'm like, so, you know, so who's coaching you, you know? And they really weren't being coached. I mean, their dad is an experienced cyclist from way back in the day. You know, he's been around the block a few times and knows his stuff, but it sounds like he was just kind of telling him to rest up before races and, you know, nothing too structured or specific. And I kept trying to pry and ask some more questions. And finally, one of them just said, "We just ride 5 times a week. And it was just kind of like a mic drop. I'm like, oh, wow, that's good. You know, and so I just think that advice right there, just riding your bike frequently, you know, 4 or 5 times a week is going to get you like 90, 95% of the way there. Now, so I mentioned that, you know, I've been super busy lately and, you know, we had the Missoula trip. It takes me a long time to get ready for those trips and, you know, work's been busy. And then I had this trip to Boulder, Utah that I just did. And we went to St. George and, you know, I've just been super busy and I've just been surprised because I make a lot of training mistakes and I could do a whole podcast on my training mistakes. In fact, I was thinking about doing that, but one thing I do pretty well is I'm fairly consistent, you know, but just this late little busy spell it's been surprising how, you know, I started missing some training and started missing some days just because I was so busy. And it's kind of like, once I started missing some days, it was amazing how much easier it became to keep missing them and missing more days because other things could come up easier because I was just not in my groove, I guess. And it got me thinking about, like, we've got a lot of good riders that they've been good riders. They've had some success. They've become some of the faster on the team and, you know, but then they just start getting busy, you know, and life kind of starts, I guess, they've just got other things going on. And I think it's just easy. Like once you start missing some training, it's just easy to keep missing it. It's kind of, I guess, what I'm getting at. And, you know, and I think the people that listen to this podcast are probably really, really consistent riders. And, you know, I think people that, you know, so I don't know that people listening to this might be struggling with this, but I know a lot of riders do fall into this. So I guess kind of what I wanted to talk about is just like, just some ways to remain consistent. And if we're not consistent, some ways to kind of get back on track and, you know, and hopefully there's someone listening that this is helpful for. And, So kind of the first thought I had is being engaged, like engagement. And this is like a term that gets tossed around the workplace quite a bit. And, you know, like there's jobs that you might have where you just really don't care. You punch in, you punch out, and you're only working there because you're getting a paycheck. You're really not working. Like if you weren't getting paid, you would stop working that exact same second that you stop getting paid. Like you would, it's just something you wouldn't do for free. And then there's other things that we get involved with that, you know, like getting paid to do it would just be a bonus. And, you know, and if you're involved with something like that, like you would stay late and you would come early and you would think about it in your spare time and you would be, you know, and so basically engagement kind of just means like caring about what you do. And we've talked a lot in the past, just as kind of review about the self-determination theory. And these are things that, you know, that would help us become more engaged in what we do. And, you know, and when you're engaged in what you do, it's just, well, let me kind of put it this way. If you're showing up to like a job and you're just doing kind of the bare minimum to get by and you're just not really getting that into it, you're not engaged, you're not going to enjoy it that much. But if you go and just put some effort into it and get your task done and get started and get going and get into things and get involved and learn as much as you can about it and advance and progress and just always trying to do better and better and better, then every day is going to be better and you're going to enjoy what you're doing. And you're not just going to be spending time there. You're actually going to be like enjoying what you do. And so, you know, sometimes we're not engaged because we're just kind of dipping our toes into things and we're not really getting immersed and getting involved. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe you're not enjoying cycling enough because you're not as involved as you need to be to enjoy it more, if that makes any sense. So engagement is kind of the first thing that I guess that we're all kind of shooting for. And a way to kind of get there is there's a quote that I love, and the quote is, "A job well begun is half done." And if you can't guess who said that, that's actually Mary Poppins that I'm quoting. So how's that for being cool? And that's so true. Like sometimes the hardest part is just getting started. And it's like, once you get started, it's not so bad. And it's kind of like, I do the dishes every night and I kind of like have task paralysis sometimes about doing the dishes, and I'll kind of play on my phone and check Strava and do all these things to kind of avoid starting the dishes. But once I get them started, it's not that bad and I get them done pretty quick, and then I can just kind of enjoy the rest of my evening. But sometimes just getting started is the hard part. And that's why, like, I think that, like with our workouts and our training, like I think sometimes we think that, like, you know, if we don't have time to do something epic or amazing, why bother? But that's why I think even just doing like a short 15-minute or half hour easy spin is so much better than just skipping it altogether and not doing anything. And that's because sometimes like you just show up. That's the hard part. Once you show up, you start going, you feel better, and then actually executing it's easy, but just the showing up part can be hard. So if we can sometimes just kind of muscle past the showing up part, just show up, try to ride. If it doesn't feel like the right day, you don't have to finish it. But usually once you get started, it's pretty easy to keep going. So one of my favorite, like, I don't know if anyone's ever heard the story about it's a fable, an Aesop fable about the boy and the nettles. And I guess if you know that stinging nettles, you know, you see them in the mountains and you just kind of brush past them and they sting you, you know. But according to this fable, The boy went to, he was picking some berries and he brushed past some nettle and it stung him. And he goes to his mom, he was crying because he got stung. And his mom said, okay, next time you just need to grasp the nettle firmly and it won't sting you. And I was actually out hiking once and I saw some nettles and I was thinking about this Aesop fable. And I actually reached out and I grabbed a handful of stinging nettle and sure enough, it actually didn't sting me. Because several times before I've brushed past it and it did sting. And so, I guess obviously the moral to that story or the meaning of that fable is that, you know, sometimes if you're just kind of dipping your toes into things half-heartedly, it's going to be a pain. It's not going to be enjoyable. But if you truly get engaged and actually get into it and get involved, then it becomes like pleasurable and fun. And it's not easier. It's just more enjoyable. And so, you know, when you've got a difficult task ahead, just remember to grasp the nettle firmly. And if you're just brushing past it, it's going to be a nuisance. It's going to sting. It's going to be annoying. But if you get involved and just really get in and dig in, you're going to find more joy and satisfaction from it. So, and then kind of the last thing, and this might be switching gears a little bit, but is, you know, when we're training and we're doing things, be deliberate about it. And what I mean by that is when we're training, be deliberate about our training. And when we're resting, be deliberate about our rest too. And I think this is kind of where my training, the type of training I do is not really benefiting me, because I'm really super consistent throughout the season. I'm pretty good about that. The thing I'm not good about is, you know, just making, like, you need periods where you're working to progress and you're deliberately stressing your body. You're deliberately doing some, I guess, damage to your body. You're pushing your body beyond its current limits. You need periods where you're doing that deliberately, but then that also needs to be followed up by a period where you're allowing your body to rest and recover, and you're being in, you know, and rest and recovery is training. It's part of training. But and I think that's where my training gets a little bit stale, is I'm just always giving, you know, kind of a 60% effort all year round, all week long, all month long, you know. And I think if I maintained the consistency, but just had periods of time where I was focusing more on, you know, pushing my limits, but then following that up by periods of time where you're resting and you're going easier. And so you're not just kind of doing the same thing all the time. So being consistent is important, but it needs to look different throughout the year, and you need periods where you're pushing your limits, and you need periods where you're resting and you're recovering and you're rejuvenating and you're taking care of yourself. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there too, that, you know, I think there's some people that maybe you're like me, where you think you just have to be perfect all year long and go all year long, and that's good. But you got to remember that rest and recovery and taking care of yourself and allowing yourself to make adaptations is part of it too. So I guess I'm kind of speaking to two different groups of people right now a little bit. Like, you know, we have those that, you know, that have maybe kind of gotten out of the habit of training consistently, and those that might be too consistent and never taking breaks and never resting and never letting their bodies heal and recover and rejuvenate and take advantage of the adaptations that are possible from the work that they've done. So I think what I'm just getting at here is just, there's definitely a balance, and there's a Goldilocks approach, you know, where, you know, we need the consistency, but we need to take care of ourselves too. So, You know, and if you're kind of in the camp where you feel like, you know, the Nika season's approaching, I haven't been riding much, that this season's hopeless, that's not the case. There's still plenty. It's a long season. There's so much time to, you know, so much time to improve, so much time to get faster, so much time to make changes in your training to really still make it the best season it can possibly be. So, but now is the time to start that. If you need help with that, reach out to me, let me know. And I feel so weird just talking to myself, but hopefully this is okay. Hopefully, you know, but if there's anything I can do or anything that to help you, you know, maybe get back into consistency, back on track to make this season the best it can possibly be, let me know. Let your coaches know. I guess this is all I have. Gosh, should I do a magic word? It'd be interesting. I probably won't hear from anyone, but let's see. A magic word would be biscuit, because that restaurant I ate at had really good biscuits. So I'll just throw that as the magic word. And Joe will be here next time. Should be a lot more entertaining. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.